Luke chapter number 6 this morning. Luke chapter number 6. The subject this morning is always a fun subject to be sitting in the crowd when the preacher preaches on it, but it's even a more fun subject to be the guy teaching and preaching on it this morning. This morning I want to teach and preach about the joys of giving. You know, as a local church, we have a lot of responsibility, and all God's people said, amen. Listen, we're able to do things. We're able to have ministries like Junior Church and VBSs and Fun Days and adding on to a building because a group of individuals see the importance of giving to God's ministry. And see, we're not giving begrudgingly. We're not giving grudgingly. We're not giving in spite. We're giving because God has given to us, and what God has blessed us with, we're able to give back. And realize that we'll never outgive God. Amen. It's because of God that we're able to do things without having to go borrow a bunch of money. I'm so thankful. And all God's people said, we don't have to pay interest on that. God has provided the means for us to grow this church. God has provided the means for more young people to come and be able to go into our junior church classes. And yes, it costs a little bit of money, but here's what you got to look at. You're investing in souls. As a church, we're not giving. It's never a waste to give to God and His ministry. It's never a waste to give, and I believe you ought to give through your local church. I think that's a biblical principle, to give through your local church. You're not giving so other people can see what you're doing, and as soon as you start giving and bragging about what you've done, then you lost your heavenly reward. Listen, we give because God has given us the ability to do it. So this morning, I want to talk about the joys of giving. And you know, it really is fun to give, isn't it? The Bible teaches that it's more blessed to what? Give than to what? Receive. I mean, every one of us have given gifts. Anybody, raise your hand if you've given a gift before. And you anticipate giving that gift. Why? Because you're anticipating doing good for somebody else. Well, likewise, when you give through your local church, our tithes, our offerings, you give to missions. Listen, you're investing in souls that you'll never see this side of heaven. Some you will, some you will not, but I'll tell you what, each time a soul is saved because of your willingness and your obedience and your joy that you gave through the local church and a missionary was able to go out and reach a soul that you never would have reached, listen, that goes on your account. And when you get to heaven, you'll get to see the smiling faces, probably hundreds of thousands of people that you'll never know this side, but you'll be able to see them, and you'll be able to look and see the fruit and the reward for your labor and your willingness to obey God. So this morning, let's talk about the joys of giving. One, look at it as a joy, not a demand. Look, giving is a topic that causes many people to feel uncomfortable. Perhaps this flows from an inaccurate understanding of what biblical giving is all about. Once a person understands what the Bible teaches about giving, it becomes a natural outgrowth from the Christian walk. The purpose of this is for you and I to learn what the Bible has said concerning you and giving. In the book of Luke, chapter number 6, if you're there, say amen. Verse 38, the Bible says, what's the first word there? Give, but look at this, and it shall be what? Given unto you. This is our Lord Jesus talking. Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together. And what's the next two words? Running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. So the Bible principle here is what? Give, and it shall be given unto you. Now, should we give so that we gain? What's the answer? No. Listen, we give because God has given us the ability to give. It's an honor that God has blessed our families financially, spiritually, like He's blessed us. And, you know, I understand some can give more than others. But look, you might have the gift of giving. I think everybody has the ability to give, but few people have the desire. Here's the reality. If you look at statistics through a local church, you'll see that about 12% of every local independent Baptist church, 12% of people give faithfully. All through the world, about 12% of people are doing 100% of the work. Kind of sounds like our country, doesn't it? Think about the workforce that goes to work every day and gets all the tax dollars taken out of their checks and pays for hundreds of thousands of people that do nothing. Y'all know what I'm talking about? It's the same in the church. Look, if we as a church were unified around giving and unified around the idea of what we're doing is for God, and we're not worried about our pocketbooks, God has blessed us, so in return, I want to bless the ministry, I want to be used of God. Look, we'd be writing checks for buildings like this, and we wouldn't even be discussing anything. God can do abundantly above and beyond what we could ever ask or even think. If a group of individuals just this size, if everyone that's just sitting here today, this is the Sunday school crowd, and I know, listen, you're the faithful ones. You're the ones that are here Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You're here because you want to be here. Listen, but if everyone yoked up and bonded together and said, you know what, we're going to give because God has blessed us, and together we want to be like that widow who gave all she had, two mites, and look, she made history with all she had. How about the little boy with five loaves and two small fishes, barely had enough for himself to eat, but he gave it to the Lord, and God multiplied that stuff and fed 5,000 men, plus women and children that were sitting there that day. Plus, in the end, the disciples went around, and each one of the disciples had a basket to take home with them. That's what God can do with what you look at as not much. God looks at it and says, give that to me. I'll show you just what it's worth. It is a joy to be able to give. Primarily, when we think of giving, we think of money. While it is definitely included, it is only part of it. We should also be giving our time, our talents, and our treasures, and our testimony to the furtherance of God's kingdom, because giving can cover such a wide spectrum. We will focus on the area of finances this morning. As we begin to explore the Bible, it is interesting to note what the mandates for giving were in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the Jews were commanded to give a tithe or a tenth of everything they own, land, sheep, food, coins, etc. You can see that in Leviticus chapter 27 and Deuteronomy 14. You can see it also. This was a part of the law for the Jews. But as we come to the New Testament, we are leaving an age of the law, and we are now under the dispensation of what? Grace. We are not under the law anymore. We're under grace. Tithes are not stressed anymore. Now, an offering is being stressed. An offering is above and beyond the tithe. It is given because a person not only knows he should, but actually wants to. Whereas the tithe was given out of duty, the offering is given out of desire. The question this morning, before we go any further, is, what is your desire in this local New Testament church? Is your desire to come here and be fed and get what you're for and no more, get and move on? Is your desire to see young men and women, as we're talking about a VBS, we have a VBS sign-up sheet here for those of you who want something to do. Hey, if you have time, look, we already got people signing up. Come sign up for VBS. Just work one night. I dare you. It'll be so much fun. You'll come back the next night and the next night, because what you're going to see is little kids from all over this community whose parents want babysitting for three nights or four nights, and they're going to bring them, and they're going to smile, and they're going to laugh, and they're going to make messes. They're going to spill juice. They're going to crush cookies all over the floor, and you're going to be irritated, and you're going to stay, and you're going to clean it up. But man, they're going to come back the next night, and they're going to be talking about what they learned in junior church. They're going to be ready to go to the craft. Look, you know how all that's possible? People giving their time, people giving their treasure. It's going to cost some money. But look, if we have a VBS and one young man or lady comes to know Christ, was it worth it? If we have a VBS and we open up the doors, I'm excited about that Sunday afternoon. We're going to have the big water slide set up out there, the grill going, hamburgers, hot dogs, baked beans, potato salad for 3 or 4 hours. I mean, whoever can volunteer for that. Look, we're going to have a VBS sign up. Anybody that comes can get a free hot dog, free hamburger. You know what we're doing? We're showing them that we're a ministry here. Is it going to cost a little bit of money? Oh, yeah, but hey, every family that drives by here is going to say, hey, there's something there for everybody. And it's going to take time. It's going to take treasures. It's going to take your talents. But folks, what is your desire as a local church? As we discuss the joys of giving, it is important to see what the Bible says concerning how we are to give. God has laid some things down in His Word by which we are to abide. Notice what the Scriptures say about concerning, number one, the manner of giving. Go with me to the book of Matthew, chapter number 6. I hope you got your Bibles this morning, because you're going to need them. We're going to look at 5 or 6 different scriptures here and look at the manner of giving. Can I say, number one, we are to give without show. Say, Brother Drew, what do you mean? Well, when God tells you to do something, He doesn't need you to boast about what He's given you the ability to do. Because in reality, you wouldn't have that ability without God. But you know, there are people out there, and I thank God I've never seen that here. And I would challenge you to never be that person. No one really cares what you're giving. Everybody okay with that? What matters is your heart behind what you're doing and who you're doing it for. If God gives you the ability to do it, hey, it don't matter if you never put your name on an envelope, if you never write a check, if you give cash money, guess who knows what you're doing? God knows what you're doing, and He cares, and He will bless you for it. So we are to give without show. In Matthew 6, verse 1 through 4, the Bible says, "Take heed that you do not your own alms before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee." What do you mean? Don't blast out what you're doing. Hey, you know, I know this guy gave 100, but you know what? I gave 200. Guess what? You just lost all of your reward. The lady that gave $5 quietly just got more reward than you did, boasting about your $1,000 that you were able to give. Everybody okay with that? "As the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth." That's pretty secretive, isn't it? "That thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father," here it is, "which seeth in what," church? "Secret, himself shall reward thee," what? "Openly." So we are to give without show. Number two, look in 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. We are not only to give without show, but we are to give according to our ability. Say, what do you mean by that? Well, see, one thing about boasting about what you give, there's people out there that like to constantly be in competition with people. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Well, if he gave that, I know, even though I can't afford it, I'm going to do it anyway. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Listen, you give according to your ability, and God is the one that made it possible for you. Give according to your ability. It is not a competition. The next time you think it is, remember the widow that gave two mites. I love that story and I love that reference. She gave all she had and it was just two penny worth. Not very much. So we're to give according to our ability. 1 Corinthians 16 verse 1 says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered," what? "Him, that there be no gatherings when I come." So we are to give according to our ability. Give unto the Lord as he's given unto you. Number three, can I say this? You're to give willingly. Look at 1 Chronicles chapter number 29. Back in your Old Testament there. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Give willingly. And I'm thankful that we have a giving church. I'll be honest, you know, there's a lot of churches out there that fight when it comes time to give and do, and they fight over money, and they think the money that belongs to the local church belongs to them, and they don't want to spend it, and they don't want to invest into the church. And they, listen, hey folks, this is God's money. And if God's given us the ability to do it, hey listen, we should do it willingly. 1 Chronicles 29 in verse number 3, the Bible says, "Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of God, I have of mine own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house." Verse 4, "Even 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the houses with." I'll skip down to verse number 9, and look what the Bible says. "Then the people rejoiced, for they that offered," what? What's that word? Say it again. "Willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord, and David the king also rejoiced with great joy." You want to know how in the end when you know, and I understand, you know, if you're, it's kind of, you go out there right now and you can see a couple things. You can see a nice looking slab and a big old mud hole. Brother Scott came by yesterday to put some chairs back in the thing, and my kids were playing outside, and he was excited. You know, instead of looking, I wasn't very happy with the ground myself. It did make a mess, but you know what he said? He smiled and he said, "You know, kids, y'all ought to get out there in your barefoot, squish that mud between your toes, and just go have a good time." And look, in the end, if we give willingly and we give without show and we give according to our ability, you know what's going to happen in the end? Our whole church is going to stand out there and rejoice together that we came together and we prayed about this thing and we voted on this thing and we gave to this project. And when you go in there and you see those Sunday school classrooms full of kids and you see that, you know what you're going to do in the end? You're just going to rejoice. But if we don't do it willingly, and we're constantly bickering and fighting and worried every single time we sign a check and give it off, look, God is able to do abundantly above and beyond what we could ever ask or think. Listen, give willingly and rejoicing comes in the end. Amen? Number four, we're to give liberally. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I don't really like that word, liberal. Not a big fan of that word. Liberally. We're to give liberally. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2, or 2 Corinthians chapter 9, in verse number 6. I'm going to read down here through verse 15. If you got your Bibles, follow along. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6. The Bible says, "But this I say, he which soweth," what's the next word, church? "Shall reap also what?" So, that right there we could stop and preach for hours on. He that soweth sparingly shall reap what? You know, if you're trying to plant a garden to feed your whole family and you got a family of my size and I go out and I plant one tomato plant and one cabbage plant and one ear of corn, how much am I going to reap? Not very much. I'm going to be going to the grocery store every single day. Why? Because I did not prepare. But look, he that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also what? Every man according as he purposeth in his what, church? Heart. So let him, what's the next word? Not grudgingly or of necessity, but God loveth a what? Cheerful giver. You should underline that in your Bible. God loveth a cheerful giver. Verse 8, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God, whiles by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gifts." So we see that we are supposed to give liberally. Number five, can I say this? We should give cheerfully. We just read that in 2 Corinthians 9:7. The Bible says, "Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, but God loveth a what, church? A cheerful giver." And number six, can I say this? We are to give proportionately. Look at Malachi chapter number 3, right before the book of Matthew there. You'll see the book of Malachi. Malachi chapter number 3. We are to give proportionately. Malachi 3 and verse number 10. Malachi 3 and verse number 10, the Bible says, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. So here's my question to you. Is God going to punish me by being obedient in my giving? Is God going to let His people beg for bread if we're obedient in giving biblically? God has commanded us to give some things. But here's the thing. He's also given many of us the ability to give up more and more and more. But look, God has never left the righteous forsaken or begging for bread. Don't ever think, well, if I pay my tithe, I'm not going to be able to buy groceries. That's simply not true. It's just not true. It's not a biblical principle. If you don't pay your tithes, then now the way of the transgressor is what? Hard. Y'all okay? Hard. It's simple. It's just like the things we're learning on Wednesday night, some things we need to put away. Listen, if you're not on board with this giving biblically thing, and look, I'm not here begging for your money. I don't need your money. God don't really need your money. But you need His blessings that you're missing out on. You need the blessings that you are missing out on. And I promise you, if you ever get on board with giving and not giving grudgingly and not worried, if I actually put this in this envelope and put it in that offering plate, it's not, you're right, it's not yours in the first place. It all belongs to Him. He gave you the ability to make that money. And just like, listen, you ever read the book of Job? In just a few minutes, Job lost everything he had. What would you do if you woke up tomorrow and people were saying, hey, your house is gone, your children are all dead, all your animals are dead, all your land's gone, and by the way, your bank account's wiped out clean, zero. What would you do? Would all the carnal things that you've been relying on for your whole life really matter that much, or would you realize that you still had a God in heaven who has the ability to give and take away? I'm challenging you this morning to become a biblical giver. It is only as we give God's way that we enjoy God's blessings. Anything that we try to do for God in our own efforts will end up in frustration. Yet it is amazing to watch the Lord take care of His own as they put their trust in Him and His manner for getting something done. We must remember that God is not asking for an equal gift. He is asking for an equal sacrifice. While God is extremely interested in the manner in which we give, can I say that He is even more interested in the motive for our giving? So we've talked about the manner. Now let's talk about the motive for our giving. God is not just interested in our actions. He is also interested in our attitudes. And all God's people said, amen. He is also interested in our attitudes. While man may look at the outside only, God looks on our hearts. So why should we give? Number one, because it's right. Go back to the book of Luke, chapter number 6, right where we started this morning. Luke chapter number 6. Why should we give? We talked about the manner, but now what's our motive behind giving? If for nothing else, we should give because it's the right thing to do biblically. The Bible says in Luke 6:38, give and it shall be what? Given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that you meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. And can I say another reason we should give, number two, because we love Him. In 2 Corinthians 5:14, the Bible says, the love of Christ constraineth us. If God's love constrains you so much, listen, you're going to have no problem giving to His ministry. You're going to have no problem giving to His work. Our love for Christ is the greatest motive we can have when it comes to giving. True love always gives. Think about, how many are married in here? Raise your hand. Or ever been married or been in a relationship? Listen, in a marriage, everybody likes to get, don't they? Amen? But how many of us realize that we wouldn't get much if we weren't willing to what? Give. Amen? You wonder how people like Miss Jolene and Brother Junior make it 65 years in marriage. Folks, that's a long time. That's more than most of us have been alive. That's a long time to be married. You know how they did it? They decided a long time ago. I could imagine him looking at her and she looking at him and saying, you know what, this isn't about me. This is about 1 Corinthians 7, do benevolence. The disposition to do good to you no matter what you do to me. Because here's the deal. A soft answer turneth away what? Wrath. And if you're always in your relationship and you're just in there for yourself, how many know that just simply doesn't work? Well, it's the same thing with God. You know, we shouldn't be in this thing just to get. God, I'll give my offerings as long as you keep flooding my bank account with money. But what happens if that wayward child that you've been praying for is in another town or in another, you know, state somewhere, and you're just being faithful to God, working in your local church, giving like He's allowed you to give, and you've been praying, and maybe it's not your bank account that's running over, but what happens if a preacher goes and knocks on that wayward's door and invites him to church and says, son, listen, I don't know what it is that sent me to your door today, but God prompted me to come to you. What if God's working through somebody else to answer your prayer, and you get the word back that, hey, you get that phone call, mom, dad, you're not going to believe this. A preacher knocked on my door yesterday, and I came to church today, and I got saved, and I want you to know I'm turning my life around. What if God's paying you back like that? Is that okay? Folks, that's far greater than any bank account you could ever have. There are many hurting parents and grandparents out there that would love to get that phone call. And let me tell you something, no doubt in a room this size, there's many of you that have hurting parents, hurting children, hurting loved ones that need Jesus. They need the Savior. And you know what you're called to do? Be faithful. We're going to talk about it this morning, having comfort in our faith. I can't wait for the next hour. See, God's grace doesn't depend on your circumstance. Did you guys know that? His grace is sufficient always. True love always give. The Bible says God so loved that He what? Gave His only begotten Son. No other motive will do. The only motive that will get us through every circumstance imaginable is the love of Christ. Christians who fill the churches after them for their money will never enjoy the blessings that came from giving. Their feelings are based upon a misconception of biblical giving. Christians who would rather hoard their savings now will have nothing to show for it in eternity. Yet Bible-believing Christians who have learned the joys of giving are laying up treasures in heaven and are still watching God meet all their needs. Let's close with this morning. Philippians chapter 4. We'll close here and pray and dismiss and pick up on this in a couple weeks. But I hope you've enjoyed this morning and understood that, you know, the preachers and the church is not after your money, okay? But God has some principles here that we need to get a hold of. Philippians 4:19, the Bible says, but my God shall supply all what? Your need. Is that word need or does that say greed? See, I heard a message one time. It says, don't mistake, God will supply your need, not your greed. See, here's the thing. Okay, God, I'm going to write this check. I'm going to give to this missionary, but you know that gun I've been praying for? Now, I'm trusting if I give to this missionary and I help this missionary along the field and he's able to go see more souls saved, you better get me that gun. Can I say your motive is all messed up? All jacked up. You know what I'm saying? But we're laughing right here, but you know how many people out there have that kind of motive behind their giving? I'm going to give to see if God will give me what I want. Folks, the problem is what you want is not a biblical want. What you should want is you put that in that offering plate and you say, Lord, multiply this, use it for your honor and your glory, and if someone gets saved because of this, great. And if a building gets added on to because of this, great. If more kids are able to come and sit in a Sunday school class, wonderful. Amen? If we're able to write a check to get a church van repaired so we can go around and pick up kids that can't be at church on their own, hey, what else do you really want out of your money than to see a soul saved for the cause of Christ or a life changed for Jesus Christ? But he said, my God shall supply all your need according to what? His riches. Whose riches are they? Ours or His? They're His. According to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning, Lord, for the study of the manner of giving and the motive of giving. And Lord, we'll come back and finish this in a couple of weeks. But I thank you so much, Lord, for just an attentive crowd this morning. Lord, men and women who I know, Lord, that you've sent our way. And I thank you for the unity we have in this church. And Lord, I just pray, God, that we'll all, you know, grasp a hold of the manner and motive, the biblical manner and biblical motives of giving, Lord. And Lord, may this church just do things that unimaginable to the human eye or ear, Lord, that you can do through a church that is unified around you. And Lord, just bless us in this next hour. Bless those coming in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You are dismissed.